and we'll be speaking on empowerment, the Holy Spirit's occupation. Empowerment, the Holy Spirit's occupation. Now I want you to turn with me over there to the book of Acts in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to read from Acts chapter 4, verses 33. And then John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. In the first part of this in Acts 1, 1 through 11, we're dealing with the promise of power. The place, the design, and the details. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostle further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Father, I ask you today just to continue to anoint me as I speak this message on empowerment, the Holy Spirit's occupation. And Father, I praise you and thank you for this series on grace that we've been going through this month of January. And I ask, God, that hearts would change today, that people would come to know you deeper, and their walk would go stronger, and they would mature in your presence. And we just ask this today in Jesus' name, that you would anoint me and strengthen me as I speak. Amen. Part one, we talked about sin, the great disconnect. And if you remember what happened in Genesis in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and then also in Genesis chapter 3, there was a disobedience. A command given, a disobedience, temptation entered in. The enemy of our soul spoke to individuals there in the Garden of Eden. They chose to disagree with what God's command was, and they ate of the fruit. There was sin entered in, and there was a great disconnect between God and mankind. Salvation, we talk about redemption's result. Jesus came to save us, and that's the result of redemption. We're saved. Grace has been provided for us, Ephesians in chapter 2. Grace was provided for us, and we've been saved through grace by faith. And it's a gift from God. It's nothing that you and I can do on our own, lest we would boast. And knowing mankind, we would really boast. And last week we talked on the baptism and the obedience revealed, what it really means through grace to be saved and then be water baptized, and to be baptized like Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, and to make a outward statement of an inward change, to let people see that there's something that you're declaring in your baptism and the importance of that. And today we want to just talk about empowerment, the Holy Spirit's occupation. and what it really means and have that and what's going on. Now, you can, every one of these messages are up on podbean.com that you can listen to the series over and over again if you want. We've had over 9,800 hits in the last 3 months or 4 months on Podbean for the sermons that are up there. So I just want you to realize that they're there for your gathering. If you don't make it to church, they're up there and really for you to bring into your heart, share with your friends, let them know what God is speaking to your heart. Praise God. So grace is a power. It's a power. It's just not a word. It's not an unmerited favor. It's a power in our life. We have this grace power. We really do. But oftentimes we don't look at it like that. And so many people, they don't even recognize that they're born again. They don't even act like they're born again. Because if you're born again, you act like it. You recognize there's a difference in your life. You recognize that there's a holiness in you. There's a purity in you. There's a redemptive power in you. There's a real change when you go look at yourself in a mirror or you look at your own self through prayer. There's a change in your life. You're not the same person any longer. And that's because of grace. That's because of God's unmerited favor, because sin disconnected us. Redemption reconnected us. Water baptism allows us to make a statement, not only by the confession of our mouth, but a statement to people that we believe that we're changed. We believe that we're different people. But then without this next part in grace, it becomes very difficult to live a life sometimes where you walk with God. Even people that are not of Pentecostal persuasion, as the Church of God and the Assemblies of God and the Church of God in Christ and Pentecostal Church of God in Prophecy, and so on and so forth, all the different names of movements would state that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But even in the evangelical circles, they state the fact that Billy Graham said this. He said, "I don't know how a person could make it through a day without the Holy Ghost, without having the Holy Spirit in their life to make it and to know that He gives us empowerment and He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives us that hope that we need." So we have to understand today, I want you to really recognize that if you are, you need to recognize that you're born again. If you don't recognize you're born again, you have an opportunity to be born again, to change, to give your heart to the Lord, to be reconnected to God, and to have salvation as part of your resume of life. You have that salvation, that promise of eternal salvation forever and ever and ever. Don't, listen to me, please listen to me today, don't make up your own rules with God. God has His rules. Man wants to change the rules so he can live a little bit more comfortable according to his feelings. Jesus even said it. He said that men make up precept upon precept of their own laws so they can live comfortably, and yet their lips and their tongue and their worship is far from God. And how important it is that we understand that we have to live by what God says to live by, and His Word. And His Word is so powerful. It's so alive. It's so warming. It's so comforting. And yet it's very convicting. And it's convincing also. There's not a time I don't read the Bible where I don't get convicted or convinced that there is something that I need to change or do or renew. There's something that I've missed that I have to go back and fix. But there's always that ability to make the choice to do that. Don't let the world wrap you up in its arms, because what we sang this morning, "Wrap me in your arms." If you get wrapped in the world's arms, you're going to be changed into the image of the world. But when you get wrapped in God's arms, you're changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's important. And as Christians, let me say this to you, that you have a challenge by God, by the Holy Spirit, to bring change to those you come in contact with. Change to bring them closer to the Lord. Change to where they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's your actions that they see. It's your words that they hear. And it's your way of handling situations that they witness to whether or not you're really changed or not. Are you with me? So in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, the second area here, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and abundant grace was upon them all. In great power, abundant grace. That should be our testimony every day. Great power testifying of Jesus and having abundant, unmerited favor in our life, that abundant grace in our life every day. I want to challenge you, every day you wake up, bend your knee and simply thank God for a new day to worship Him in. Pray for your family. Call out your family's name. Call their name out. Call on Psalm 91 blessing upon their life, or a Psalm 121 blessing upon their life. It's an easy prayer. And then ask God to lead you into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then ask God to lead you to people that you could share the kingdom of God with. And then ask God to show you favor throughout the day. And then ask God to continue to remind you of the kingdom principles that you find in His word to be in your life. Very simple. Takes about 3 minutes to do that, unless you have a larger family. But, you know, you just have to go ahead and ask God for these areas of your life. It's very simple to pray when you get up in the morning. What happens is when we get up in the morning, the first thing we do is we put on our worry cap or our fear jacket. And we forget that we don't have to put on the fear or put on the worry, but we can get up and pray. And then we can begin our day in peace, not pondering where we're going to fail, but peace, knowing that we are subjective to the Holy Spirit and we are subjective to the Lord and we are His servants. And let me tell you, men, if you're leading your house, which I know you should be, and I know you are, let me tell you something. God is holding you and I as husbands and fathers to be accountable to lead our families. To lead our families in the goodness of God, in the Word of God, and in prayer. So it's like, yes, that's what we need to do every morning. Let's start the day with prayer. Praise God. I hope I've convicted all of you so far. Then the third is the Holy Spirit. Three employments of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to break these down. Acts chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. But now I am going to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to help you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, it's because of the ruler of this world has been judged. Now let's look at some things here today, just real quick, as we can remember grace and power go together. Grace and power, and you should have a tremendous power to preach, to teach, to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the world. And God gives you grace every day to maintain the ability to live in this earth with the right attitude, that attitude which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus speaks the promise of the Holy Ghost to His disciples and then points of the world that they should take this great power to, this grace to. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all over the globe, everywhere. God wants His word spoken. He wants His word testified of. There's always a place, though, that God wants us to come to receive direction from Him. And we have to find that place every day in our life. You know, that prayer closet is just not a place you go in and you ask for things. The prayer closet is a place you go in and you meet with God and He gives you directions for the day. Gives you a place to where you can go to the Lord and you can come in there worrying and walk out happy. Because He's got everything in His hand. He's got everything that you need controlled. And He has everything ready to bless you with. You have to come to that place. There's a place where Jesus meets the sinner. And grace is given. You know, when you fall, you can stand up. And you can ask for forgiveness and move forward. You know, even though the righteous man falls 7 times, he gets up every time. He doesn't just stay down, he gets up. Sometimes the devil just wants you to stay down to where you don't have anything going, and he wants you to feel so bad about your life and about yourself, and all you got to do is boo-hoo for the rest of your life. That's not celebration, that's whining. Two different ways to come to before the Lord. Celebrate God in your life. We don't need to whine to God. He already knows our problems before we bring them to Him. He already knows our complaints before we speak to Him. He already knows our fears before we even want to say that we're afraid. He knows that. He wants you to celebrate with Him. He wants to give you grace every day of your life. He wants to bless you in such a way that you have the ability to move forward with Him. You have the power to move forward with Him. And there's the place where that power is received. You know, I think it's great to go to the Lord every day and say, God, refill me with your Holy Ghost. Give me the power. I'm going on to the job site today, and I need power because I'm working with some people that are very intolerant. They're very bad. I need power. I need them to see my anointing. I need them, before I even go to them, to see the anointing coming and all of a sudden change. Going into the office today, and I have to deal with some meetings in there today. But I'm going to bring the power of God with me today, and I'm going to pray before I go in there, and I'm going to go in with grace because I've met in that place today. When I walk into the office today, I'm going to be able to speak to the staff, or I'm going to be able to speak to whomever's there, or the coworker in the cubicle next to me, and I'm going to be able to share with them just by who I am and the anointing that is on me, the power of the Holy Ghost, without even saying anything. Praise God. You know, I go by those car places sometimes where you got to give money to get across the bridge, which sometimes I think that would be a great fundraiser for a church. We need to build a bridge somehow to get here. But I always look at the people and I always say, God bless you. Amen. You say, well, you know, you got to watch who you bless. You know, those folks are out there all by themselves. I want you to put yourself in the booth, okay? They're all by themselves. They got people coming by all day long handing them money. Just think about the temptation on that. They're under strict rule and count. If they're like a penny off, they could lose their job. Think about the pressure of that. They're there all day long where people try to talk them out of giving them the money. Then the temptation. Here's the biggest temptation they face. Please take this 20, take my car and pay for the 3 cars behind me. God bless you. We'll see you later. There's the temptation. How's that car behind me know what's going on? You see? So they're under all this pressure at all times. They sit out in the cold and the rain and the hot sun, and they're there receiving, 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 and probably, if you know public service, probably 50% of the time, they're getting yelled at. Something like, why did you take so long with the car ahead of me? Didn't you see that I was in a hurry? No, I didn't. My discernment button's broken. But no, they get yelled at. But every once in a while, it's nice to say, God bless you. In other words, share that anointing you have. Give them something that you have so when you drive away, that may get them through the day. You see, you never know. By your attitude and your actions, you may bless someone and give them that strength to make it through a day.
That's right. Amen.
I'll give you an example. I was about to speak at a church, basically over in Martinez, and I was about to speak there, and the house was full and everything, and the one of those singers were up there, and she was leading worship, and all of a sudden she stopped worship. She said, "Pastor, I'm going to speak," and he said, "Go ahead." And she said, "I just want to say that I'm so glad that Dennis Adams is here." And I said, "I don't even know who this girl is. She's glad I'm here, so praise God, I'm glad I'm here." She said, "Because of Dennis Adams, I'm a Christian today. Because at a youth camp, he spoke a message that I gave my heart to the Lord, and I've never been the same since." You see, you don't know who you're speaking to. You don't know what's going on. Got a phone call 2 weeks ago from a guy. He says, "You don't remember me, probably, but I'm the person in a youth camp. You laid hands on me, and you're the only one that had confidence in me. Then you said that God was going to call me into the ministry, and he has." You see, what I'm saying to you is you have to have that ability to bless and to speak out what God has given you to say. You see, grace and power, they go together. The enemy is afraid of people that work in grace and power. He's afraid to deal with people that literally believe that God's given me unmerited favor. I don't even need this favor. I don't even deserve this favor. I'm there, and I got this favor. And man, God's given it to me, and I didn't even do anything to get it. He just said, "Here," and then he gave me power to do what I need to do. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Someone at that point should say, "Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb." But you know what I mean? It's just like we got the power. We got the grace. When we leave church today and when we get home or wherever we're going, we don't have to go home thinking, "Oh, man." We can go home thinking, "Oh, yeah." Praise God. And we have to look at this because His gift of salvation is marvelous. His redemption is marvelous to our life. It is so important that we have this obedience in our life that's so outwardly shown to people. Have you ever had anybody say to you, "I didn't know you were a Christian, and you've been a Christian for years"? That's not a good testimony. That's not a good testimony. That's not a good testimony at all. You know, at all. To be a Christian means to be alive in Christ Jesus, to be full of God's power, to be entrusting in the mercy of the Lord, to know Him, and to know that His goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You know, in other words, we have to do is we have to work together. If we're going to bring eternal value to this neighborhood, to this community, we need to work together in two things: grace, one for another, and working in power to take God's kingdom out into the highways and the byways. Amen? Amen. We need to work together and know that how important it is to have that. But we're working also to take the kingdom of God into a world that is full of lust and rebellion. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want anything to do with God because God makes them uncomfortable because they're really comfortable in their sin. Now, when you get saved, you realize you weren't really comfortable in your sin. You were really uncomfortable in your sin. You just had yourself talked into being comfortable in your sin. And Christians do that today. They start sinning after they become a Christian. They do horrific things, and they get comforted in it. Let me tell you something. If you're about to do something, and you're not comfortable with it, that's the Holy Ghost power saying to you, "Don't do this." But our flesh is so strong that it'll say back to the Holy Spirit, "Don't worry. I can handle this." I want to say something to you. The Holy Ghost does not worry. Worry isn't in God's vocabulary. He didn't say, "I really worry about my son Jesus." He didn't even say, "I worry about mankind." His worry's not there. He knows what the end already looks like. No one knows what 12:30 is going to look like, which is 16 minutes away. But God does. God knows what this young baby's life has set before him already. Praise God. God knows the length of our days. David prayed, show me my frailties, that I may know the length of my days. We have to learn that this world has nothing to offer us, but what we have to offer them is what they need. We need to uplift every saint of God, and we need to provide an overcoming blessing into the lives of people that we come in contact with, telling them about Jesus Christ. Secondly, there's a witness of God's presence through his power in you and the grace that shows in you because it's all over you. Don't you realize today, and I hope you do, do you realize that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in power? Do you realize that within your life is a consuming fire? Do you realize that his power leads you and anoints you? And if you would only ask God once to show you what he has protected you from? Amazing. That's why I say every Christian should not fall to temptation, should not fall to sin, should not fall to the sins of the flesh, should not fall to the sins of the mind and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, should not embrace these things. You should embrace God, his word, his mercy, his grace, his empowerment, and let him lead you every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every generation, throughout your whole life.
Yes.
People forget to celebrate because they've forgotten how to celebrate because they've been so caught up in the hole of despair that they can't see the top any longer. I want you to know that the Bible says that God's arm is not too short. And his ear is not too heavy.
Amen.
He hear your prayer. He will go ahead and reach down and give you a saving hand and pull you up out of the miry clay. He'll set you upon a rock. He'll put a new step in your walk. He'll put a new song in your heart. He'll sing that song and others will see it and praise the Lord because they see that you love God, and he'll deliver you out of all your troubles because you fear the Lord and trust in him. We have to walk in that power that he wants to give us. That power makes us different. That power, that baptism of the fire makes us different. You know, when I sing that song, Consuming Fire, I just am reminded of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm so glad that I'm baptized with God's Holy Spirit, baptized in fire. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You'll live an overcomer's life with a heart of a courageous soldier because you have that fire in you. You overcome difficulties. Praise God. You overcome the hurdles of life when they show up. You overcome the battles that go on in your life because the Holy Spirit reminds you that these battles are not yours. They're God's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's mercy and God's love is there for us at all times. You become fully dressed in the armor of God. There's not a day that I don't wake up and don't put on the armor of God. I put on the armor of God as I start the day. I'm always putting on the armor of God before I come into the pulpit. If I'm just receiving an offering at a conference, I put on the armor of God before I go up there because I know that the enemy doesn't want an offering to come. I know the enemy doesn't want anointed preaching. I know the enemy doesn't want a Christian to go into the day dressed in the righteousness of Christ with the value of faith, the helmet that's there that protects his mind from the lies of the devil, and will not, and that the, certainly doesn't want the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God proceeding out of the mouth of that saint. Doesn't want that saint to walk with the gospel of peace, the shoes of peace. Doesn't want the saint to have a breastplate of righteousness, not his or her righteousness, but the righteousness of God the Father. Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and doesn't want the loins girt with truth. In other words, doesn't want that knowledge of God's truth wrapping them around where life proceeds. He doesn't want that. He wants that to be stripped down and standing naked in the world, ready to try to defeat something without God's help. You can't win without God. The Bible says we always triumph because God brings us to a place of triumph.
Amen.
Your speech should always be the speech of a conqueror and not a defeatist. And oh boy, do I hear a lot of defeat in the Christian world today. We can't. We don't have enough. It's never going to happen. I don't even know why. Those are statements a Christian shouldn't make. We should always say we can. This is how it's going to happen. I know why, because God called us to do it. Praise God. When things happen, we should say God will get us through it.
Yep,
amen. When a bill comes, it's so big you can't pay it, because God will provide. And don't call your best friend and say, hi, God. God will provide. God will provide. Call God, who should be your best friend, and say, God, I need your help. I told you I wrote a book on help. 365 pages, bestseller. Cover says help. You turn the first page, help. Second page says help. Keep turning all the way through 365. Every page has help on it. Praise God. Didn't cost a lot of ink to make it. Was hardly nothing to publish. But boy, I sure do use it and read it. Every day, our task each day is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't just share the gospel on Sunday. I share the gospel every day. I tell someone about Jesus every day. I really believe in it. I think we should tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm excited about that. I'm excited. We tell everybody about our new sitcom that we like, the new stuff that's on TV that probably blows our mind watching it in the first place. We have to pray afterwards. And we got all this stuff that we do and everything else. But we literally have to go ahead and believe God. There's TV shows that pastors tell me they watch, and their members watch, and they put it on Facebook, what's going on these TV shows. I'm not going to mention the names because I don't want to embarrass them. They're going to listen to this tape. I know they will. They do all the time. I'm not going to embarrass them, but I will say to them as they're listening to this tape right now, stop watching the show I already told you shouldn't be watching. There's TV shows on there that is lifting up the enemy's kingdom. And we're being entertained by people getting killed, getting strung out, illegal activities, and we're going, yeah, that feels good. Yeah, it feels good because your flesh is going, yeah. Holy Ghost is going, ah. You know, you all think so. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this. I think the Holy Ghost, I know the Holy Ghost told me to say this, and I'm going to probably go, why did I say that? But I'm going to do it. When I first came to this church, there were folks up on this platform wearing t-shirts of TV shows. You don't wear a TV show platform up here playing music with a t-shirt on. Saying, that's what you want, a Budweiser t-shirt. You go to church with your Budweiser t-shirt on, your Miller High Life t-shirt. Give me a break. Same thing. But God told me when I came to this church, I want you to be different. I said, okay. As long as you want me to be different, I'll be different. So I didn't say nothing. And you know what? I told God one day I should have said something. He said, no, you obeyed me. Don't worry about it. But I'm trying to say to you is that I was showing grace. But I'm going to tell you right now, anybody comes up to this platform, now God said I need to go back to my old self. Don't you dare come up to this platform with anything on like that. I'll turn the sound system off and we'll give you a new shirt to wear. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And God does not want us to be selfish in our sharing his love. Well, we may not have money to give every service. I'm not asking you to be like me. You know, pastors are under a lot of pressure to be certain ways, and we live in a glass house, and people are always watching us. And so I don't give that you'd be satisfied that I do, but I just kind of have a habit of giving. But I know that there are times of the month where you have to give, and that's it, and then you have other bills. Don't misunderstand me, but one thing that I can tell you for sure, you never run out of God's love. The mortgage company can't take that. The bill collector can't have that. The car payment can't have that. The insurance company can't have that. But what you have is a wealth of God's love. So every day, give God's love.
Amen.
Your task is to move in the power of God and to allow his grace to work in you and through you. So he will see and be seen through your weakness as you are made strong through him. Grace is the key to the power of God permeating your life and leading you into all victory. Your journey is not a journey of failure, but of success and victorious living. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is given to express the depth of God's grace to mankind and also to declare the public judgment on the already judged enemy of our soul. You see, he convicts the world of sin because they don't get it without him. You're not convicted unless the Holy Spirit shows you conviction. He convicts the world because of righteousness because Jesus isn't here any longer. So he's not walking around. See, everybody saw Jesus, got convicted. Come see the master. They followed him because he would do miracles and he would speak things and he would rebuke the religious world in which they were under such pressure from. He's gone. But he didn't really leave. He gave the best part that he could give to us on this earth, the Holy Ghost. And it's our job now to be so anointed that people get convicted when you're around. I told you the story about our good friend, some of us know, that I married back in at the Vine. And praise God, when we went to their wedding reception, you know, it was a Corona in one hand and a cigarette in the other. When they saw me coming, they put the beer behind their back here and the cigarette behind here. And it looked like they had a chimney in the back of their head. And I told them, you don't have to hide it from me. I'm not the worried. Don't worry about me. It's God you got to worry about. You see, the point is, though, that I'm saying this in this part of the message, to rephrase back to that, is that there was conviction because not of me, but the anointing that I have. And you have. It's not just my anointing, it's God's anointing in all of us. Sin has brought such a great disconnect that even when people get reconnected, they don't want to disconnect from sin. They want to have it all. You can't have it all. You either choose God or not. You either live for God or not. You can't live in the somewhere in between. You know, Sunday I'm going to really live for God. Monday I'm going to rest from living for God. And Tuesday I'm getting back into the world. By the time Saturday comes, man, I can't wait to get live for God on Sunday again. You can't do that. Every day Sunday. Every day you praise a king that loves you. You know, I can't help but tell you this, and I mean this from my heart. I can't get over being excited that I'm saved. I can't get over it. It's really meaningful to me. I can go by a highway patrolman and I can wave at them now. I wasn't able to do that before I was saved. I can go by a bar or go into a bar or go into a restaurant where they serve drinks and they ask, do you want to sit by the bar? I say, not really, but if I had to, I will. And I can stare at the bottles and say, you have no power. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's just amazing to me how it is to be saved.
That's so cool. I don't have to cuss anymore. I can get the same point across without using words that start with letters I'm not going to repeat right now. I can get the same point across. I don't have to physically fight anymore because now I can just pray and seek God on him. That's a much better play anyhow. I don't have to hate my enemy anymore. I can pray for my enemy. I don't have to worry about my neighbor. I love my neighbor. Praise God. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get through a day because God's going to get me through the day. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to get my next meal from. God's going to provide my next meal. If you trust him, if you believe him, and you really are a Christian, and you say, you know what, I'm believing this book's for me. Everybody lift up your Bible or your iPad or your iPhone. But anyhow, if you go ahead and you lift up, say this with me. I believe this book,
has everything in it
that I need to live by. I believe it is who it says I am. And I believe the blessings are mine. And I'm going to live this book every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. But listen, we have to understand the importance of the church and how we need to be a church of righteousness and holiness and purity, living by grace and power. We need to be a church that's redeemed, displaying saving grace that was gifted to us called salvation. You know, it blows my mind. There's, you know, when I was a younger man and I preached revivals a lot and everything, pastors would ask me to come. And they always asked me to come to the church. This is what I was called in to do, to get rid of the devils. They always called me in to get rid of all the devils. And I was always driving to the church wondering how'd they ever get in there in the first place. In other words, they say, if you got devils in your church, you got problems in your church, and the devil seems to be tearing the church up, call Dennis Adams in for revival. They'll be gone when he's through. You know how they get there? I was wanting somebody to call me for revival and say, would you come just bless my folks? You know, but every church it seemed that I went to, and I preached revivals all the time. It's just devils were everywhere in the church. And what I'm trying to say to you, if the church will live by the power and the anointing of God's grace and mercy, the devil's not going to be in church. He's going to be dialing 911 on the iPhone outside. I was going to say the corner phone booth, but they're not in business any longer. So he's on his iPhone. Amen. And hopefully he doesn't have a 5C so he can get connection. But in all reality, we have to understand that what we have going is so important in God's mercy and grace. We need to display what baptism reveals to us. Aren't you glad you're saved? Could you say that? I am glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad that I'm whole in Jesus Christ. See, judgment is shown to those who retreat from God, but not to those who go to God. The devil retreated from God. He judged. He's already judged. That's the thing that you got to remember every day. When the devil comes after you, just look at him and say, you've already been judged. You have no power over me. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. No matter what you say, I've got more power than you do. You've already been judged. You'll never get to heaven. And if you want to, if you really want to be bratty about it and say, you'll never get to heaven, go, ha, 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 I will. Get a little bratty with the devil. He's going to get bratty with you. Amen?
Right.
Hell was never created to hold mankind. Never did God create hell for mankind. Mankind decides to dwell where the will of man chooses through disobedience. Heaven was created for the redeemed, not the dispersed soul that is lost, the sort that seeks the pleasures of the world instead of the sufferings of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit told me to write. I wrote that down. I had to read it to you exactly how he said it to me. Heaven was created for the redeemed, not the dispersed soul that is lost, The sort that seeks the pleasures of the world instead of the sufferings of Christ. The heaven that has been created is an eternal home for the justified in Christ and those that have found peace through faith in God, the Father, by Christ Jesus. Is there peace in your heart today? If there isn't, let me tell you, you can have that peace. You say, Pastor, I'm already saved. There's no peace. God still wants to give you peace. If you just give your problem over to Him, if you give your fear over to Him, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of glory, will give you peace. Why? He's the Prince of Peace, praise God.
Amen.
Let me close. Grace is bountiful and unmerited, but God finds it in His justice and mercy to gift us with such. To redeem us from a world of fear, pain, and anguish that is filled with hopelessness and despair. He pulls us out of that.
Wow. Why? Here's the answer. Really difficult. He loves us. How can He love me? Because of grace. Because of the blood, because of His justice. He's just. He can't get in contact with us lest Jesus Christ's blood is applied to our heart. He sees us through the blood of Jesus, in other words. You want God to get into your life, get Jesus into your heart.
To promise us hope that does not fail. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb of God and set free to worship Him. I want you to come into church next week. All week long, I want you to just keep saying, I am blood bought. I am blood bought. I am blood bought. Say it throughout the day. I am blood bought. I am purchased. I am enslaved to Jesus Christ. He saved me and said I could go, but I decided to hang out with Him. Because where I would go would have enslaved me back into the world. I'm going to hang out with Jesus. I'm blood bought. Come into service next Sunday with those words on your mind. I am blood bought. And when worship starts, oh, you've been worshiping so beautiful recently. But I'm telling you, when worship starts next week, you live a life saying that and believing that and getting that into your heart. Praise God. When worship starts, you're going to draw worship from the worship leader. That's a compliment, by the way. She's looking at me like, oh, no. No. She needs a hug. Did the hug do? Look, she's smiling. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here. It's just like when the preacher's preaching and everybody says that you pull from the preacher. That's old Church of God Christ. Church of God and Christ stuff. You pull it from the preacher. Come on, preach it. You pull it out of him or her. Some folks just stare at you like you were a clock. Like you're over time, 6 minutes. I knew when I read your email, you'd never stop at 12:30. I knew it too, but I thought I'd might as well go ahead and do it. How? We have been given liberty of praise and a life of service unto Him. You are free to praise. I want to say this as your pastor. I want to release you today. You are free to praise in this house. You are free to worship. God has given us grace. I'm going to close with just a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I want you to listen very intently. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love and with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as results of works, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. And let the redeemed say this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him.